Got a girl from the south side, got brazen hair. First time I've seen her walk by.
It is Mike Cal, the show. It's 102.5 The Bone, 727-579-1025 or 800-771-1025. I forgot, Galvin. I'm sorry that it's Wednesday. Galvin's got a brand new open letter we're going to do here.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up because I was just finishing it.
I'm going to do Galvin's open letter, and then I'm going to tell you a sad story about a murder.
Oh.
That I may be able to help with catching the killer.
Ooh, I went in.
I talked to the police yesterday.
Galvin's in.
I talked to the police at length yesterday.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, it's sad. I don't want to mock it at all, but I will tell you the full story.
Oh, I don't know how.
After Galvin's open letter.
I don't know how happy you're going to be to tell this story after this open letter.
Oh, no, really?
We'll see.
All right. I will tell you my involvement in a recent murder case here in Tampa after Galvin's brand new open letter. Here we go.
Now, an open letter from Galvin.
This is an open letter to people that were funny and now do something else. Dear people that were funny and now do something else. Seriously, remember Steve Martin? Wild and crazy guy? Mm-hmm. The jerk? King Tut? Now you know what Steve Martin does, right? He's a banjo player. And not a little bit of banjo between comedy, but all banjo, yeah. All the time. I'd rather be beaten to death with a banjo than sit and watch Steve Martin and his banjo band play banjo. And it's not that I hate banjo, it's that I hate Steve Martin playing banjo. Maybe it's just me, but I can't think of anyone that wants to see that guy play banjo. Another guy that was funny and now is doing something else is Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel used to be funny, and the thing he's doing now is crying. So Jimmy had a baby and it had some health issues. So he came on TV on his late night talk show and talked about it and cried. Yuck. No one wants to see that. How about you take a day off? Or you, better yet, take the week off. Do we really need the guy from the man show trying to pass new healthcare policies? Girls jumping on trampolines, and we need affordable healthcare in America. Then after the Las Vegas shooting, Jimmy Kimmel came on his TV show on late night and he cried. Again. Ugh, please stop. Yes, it was a tragedy. But no one, and I mean no one, needs to see a grown man that's known for playing touch a pickle to your head and parents tell your kids you ate all their Halloween candy crying on TV. It's really pathetic. Listen, I get it. People change. Something happens in their life, or as they get older, they have a different perspective on the world and they don't joke around and they're not necessarily as funny anymore. Or as I like to call it, time to retire. You know who else used to be funny but isn't anymore? Joe Piscopo. No real reason here. I just think he's not funny anymore. I'm Galvin from the Mike Calta Show, and this has been an open letter to people that were funny and now do something else.
Yeah, in Steve Martin's case, I think he's just like, I just want to relax now.
Yeah, but don't make us come see you play banjo. Just do it at your house.
This guy loves bluegrass music, though. I love bluegrass.
If it's anybody else, there was a guy who used to play down the street whenever I was a kid in the neighborhood and stuff, and I'd sit there and watch him play, and I'd be like, that's amazing, and it sounded great and everything. I think it's the fact that it's Steve Martin, who at one time was so funny, you're like, be funny.
Yeah.
It's just like whenever you see a comedian. What is going on?
Playing a little bluegrass in the background.
When you see a comedian doing a serious role, you're almost like, I'm waiting for him to do something funny. Like,
yeah,
this is weird.
Yeah, and Jimmy Kimmel, who I happen to like. So we were having this discussion, Tony Burton and I, the other day.
He's got to stop crying.
But Jimmy Kimmel is my favorite of the three late-night talk shows, but I never watch his show. I only watch the social media versions of
okay.
it. You know, that's enough for me to say. I like his bits.
And I think he's very funny.
Yeah,
like,
he's
I
great.
Think he does a lot of stuff, but...
too much crying.
It's killing it.
It's not killing it. Now, listen, you have a baby, okay? You have any kids,
and there's
anything, you're going to cry.
I understand
But he
it.
Cried. He cries at everything.
But it's also... take the day off.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy's not going to be here. We got David Spade filling in or whoever else.
You have.
Because his baby has problems. Nobody wants to see him crying on TV. He could even do a pre-roll. Hey guys, I don't want to be crying all night and bring your late night show down. So instead, I'm going to stay home with my baby who is you know, having some problems. Here's David Spade. He's funny.
I was very sad when Ralphie died, and I didn't want to cry on the air talking about it. I was like, I'm not a public crier. And then I said in a tweet, I was like, or a Facebook post or whatever, I was like, I'm so glad this happened on a Friday, so we got a couple of days to get through it, because I don't want to be miserable at work knowing that my friend just died, you know? Tony Burton and I went to go see a play in New York called Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, did you guys cry?
Well, no, I didn't cry. But I have to tell you, under different circumstances, like, I don't know. Here's the thing. The kid that plays this role is this kid that seems like he's kind of on the spectrum, and he's got real bad anxiety, and he gets caught up in this lie. It's an amazing story. And the actor is so good that you feel every emotion that he's feeling.
Right.
And he cries so much, and snot flies out of his nose, like he's a legit crier. But I couldn't cry because Hugh Jackman was sitting next to me.
Here's the thing, though. Cry all you want. I've said it a million times. I cry at Publix commercials. I cry at talent for some reason. Whenever I see something.
And when you say cry, you mean like your eyes water up. Yeah, that's what happens to me, too.
I'm not doing that. But also, I'm not doing it on this show that is made to be funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what really bothers me.
I'm the same way. When I tell a story and I get really excited and it could have nothing to do with sadness or emotion, my eyes would well up with tears, but only because it has something to do with the excitement of telling the story. Yeah. It's not a sad thing. It's just a reaction that your body has. I'm not one of those guys who's like, guys never cry at all.
No.
But I'm just also not a...
Just don't make me uncomfortable with
it. Like, yeah. I don't... Like, I know it's good for ratings. I know if I get on the air and I start telling you stories about Ralphie and how much I love them and I start crying, people aren't going to be like, fag. They're going to be like, oh, man, that's sad. And they're going to really... But I'm not doing that. It's just... It seems to me also it's pandering and it's me trying to... It's almost like too much... It's like, quit it. You know?
Yeah, right.
Cry in your own time. To make it a personal thing. Whatever. You want to know the story? You want to know I was involved in the murder thing? No, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry. First, before I tell you that, you're not nearly going to be as excited about this as I am, but I just got a press release from the Amalie Arena, and on tickets will go on sale Friday, October 27th at 10 a.m. as the Amalie Arena is proud to announce the return of Billy Joel to the arena.
Liberty DeVito? No.
I'm not going. He'll be here on February 9th, which is a stupid Tuesday, but I will be there for sure. I just said to my wife the other day, I go, Billy Joel is playing at Madison Square Garden on December 10th, which will probably be my last day on the air here for the year. I'm going to get off the air and go to the airport and go to New York to go see Billy Joel if you'd like to come with me. That was my pie was solid doing. Now, I don't have to go.
What you could do is here, what is it? When is it? February 9th?
February 9th.
You could do a little early Valentine's Day. How you like that? That way you don't have to worry about booking and doing all this stuff. You go to dinner and then go see Billy Joel.
Stupid Tuesday.
Yeah, but still.
Nah, I can't go out to dinner on Tuesday.
You go to dinner before.
No.
What? I don't understand.
I don't like to have daytime love dinners. I can't. It has to be dark out.
What time does the show start?
It'll start like about 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Listen, don't rush my dinner. I need to go. When I go to Valentine's dinner, it's got to be 3 hours and it's got to start at 8 o'clock.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I got plans.
Got to leave time for the souffle.
Give me that chocolate. I need maybe some baked Alaska.
You got to get all those rose petals and put them on the bed. Yes. Gotcha,
Yes, after 15 years of marriage, that's what you do. Rose petals.
All right, what's with the murder?
Do you realize if I put rose petals on the bed or like led up to my bedroom, my wife would look at them and run out of the house?
Would she really?
Oh, my God.
My only wish...
She'd go, hey, I cleaned these up. I'm sorry.
I wish you would have the rose petals, and then when she walked into your room, you were sitting on the bed with the guitar singing songs to her. That would be the best.
My wife's got a big birthday coming up this year, and I thought, I'm not going to do this, I could say, but I thought it would be great if I stopped the party and I go, hey, I wrote this song.
Yes.
She would just... She would kill herself on her 40th birthday.
Do it. Not kill herself.
No,
do it.
Right. I mean, okay, so this is a legit real story, and it's also kind of sad, so I'm not mocking it, but I do want to tell you about it. Last Tuesday, my wife and I went to Target in Lutz near my house.
Okay.
And while we were checking out, I could see that there was a woman who was kind of giving me the once over look, like she kind of recognized me.
All right.
And she looked and she turned, she looked, and she was at the Target with a guy who was sitting down at the computer filling out an application, I assume, by the bathrooms. So as we walked by, the woman stopped and said, "Are you Mike Calton?" I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Oh my God, I thought it was you. I listened to the show, blah, blah, blah." And we took a picture together. And she was very nice. But when we left, I met her and the guy, and it wasn't so much her as much as the guy. And I go, "I'm pretty sure that they were on meth," making just a joke to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But not her, but the dude, you know?
Right, okay.
So, and I don't know that to be true, nor was it really that obvious. I was just trying to be kind of funny, but it was something there was something odd that I noticed.
Something made you say it, so yeah.
Well, I get back from New York yesterday, and several people from this lady's family emailed me. Her name was Monica Hoffa. She was only 32 years old. And she was shot and killed at East New Orleans Avenue and 10th Street. And there was also another guy named Benjamin Mitchell who was shot and killed around 9 p.m. on October 9th while waiting at a bus stop near North 15th Street.
Now, was that the guy that you met or no?
It was the lady that I met.
The lady that you met, but not the guy.
No, Benjamin is a black gentleman. The guy that I met was a white gentleman.
Okay.
So the reason why people were emailing me was because his story was on Channel 10 News that Benjamin and Monica were killed, and the police said both cases are somewhat unusual in that there are no clear motives behind the killings. In a news release, police cited circumstances and the proximity of the killings as to why the investigators believe the homicide cases might be related. The two killings are within 10 blocks or about a half a mile from each other in the southeast Seminole Heights area. And detectives sent alerts to residents who lived in the area to let them know that this was happening. And also if anybody's surveillance cameras might have picked something up, and they do have surveillance video.
Sure. They're going to, let me tell you right now, you're not getting away with murder. You're not.
Probably not. No.
They're going to get you.
Yeah. But the thing was, is that they really had no clues. And in the story, they said, if you think that you might have something, to please call the police.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have anything other than the fact that I know that she was with that guy.
You think you didn't have anything.
Right.
But you should absolutely step forward and talk to them, because there could be something that you don't know that they go, she was with so-and-so, or she was carrying a red bag or anything. That could be something that they go, well, there we go. We got it.
The other thing was, is that this woman was so nice and so excited to meet me. It made me feel wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad email that I got from her family that she had been murdered. And the one guy that emailed me on that, the first one that I read, was just a friend of hers who said that they both were fans of the show. And they also sent me the picture. So I absolutely remember who she was. I remember that day. I remember taking the picture. And I immediately felt terrible. So I called.
And this was how many days before she was murdered that you took a picture with her?
Two.
Oh, my God.
I know. I really felt terrible. And these people now have lost this woman, and they have no clues. So I said, probably overstepping my boundary, but I did make some sort of comment about that guy, and there he was, an adult filling out an application at Target. It could be her husband, boyfriend, best friend, I don't know. So I called the police, and I talked to him, and I said I had to explain who I was and explain why I had a picture with this woman.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And the detective, I spoke to her yesterday, and she said, I said, "This is going to be a weird story." I said, "But you got this case." And she goes, "Okay." And I said, "Well, I had met this woman a couple of days before, and she was with a guy. And I don't know the guy. I don't know. But I did make a comment that he was a little shady looking." And if you're out there and you're like her brother or something, I apologize. It was nothing in particular. I just definitely said something about him to my wife. And he filled out an application, so all of his information is in that computer. So if it turns out he is a jilted boyfriend or something along those lines, maybe she was messing around with that Benjamin guy. I don't know.
Here's the other thing, is if that guy is her brother or boyfriend or whatever, they got to clear him.
Right.
If they're nothing, then they clear them, and then they go on from there or whatever. But that has to be cleared, so that's part of the investigation.
Yeah, so I just said, hey, I don't know if this is anything to do with anything, but I feel terrible for the lady and for her family, and this is what I know, and that's it. So I just spoke to her last night, the detective that's working the case, so I don't know anything out of that. But I would imagine they're going to have to go and follow up on that.
Sure, yeah.
Can you imagine if this guy was like a jealous lover and ended up killing? I cracked the case.
Yeah.
I should get my own TV show. Like,
probably give you a badge.
Mike Cal, the criminal mind.
Right.
Well, wouldn't that be nice to get a badge?
Yeah.
The previous administration did not give me a badge. And it wasn't Sheriff G, because he and I were cool. He was super cool to me. And now Sheriff Cronister is also a buddy. So I'm not just saying, as a to be deputized me would not be a bad thing.
Right, yeah.
And not one of those phony badges everybody pays for. I mean, I want one.
Yeah, you don't want the auxiliary. Or
right, I want one that clears me to shoot people.
License
to kill. I don't think they give those to people.
No, not to you.
Yeah.
You're not special enough. But a guy like me who knows when you can use it, when you can't. Do you know the other story about the guy, the kids who tried to carjack a car?
No.
Oh, yeah.
This is pretty good. The kids carjacked a vehicle.
Where was this?
In I don't know. Hold on. I'll tell you in a second. I don't know if it was in Tampa or dirty St. Petersburg, whatever you call it. What do you say it is?
Dirty turd, St. Pete.
Dirty.
DTSP.
Dirty turd, St. Pete. That is it. Hold on. Let me pull up the story. Here it is. Clearwater.
Okay.
Okay. So the two teens tried to carjack a lady. They get her and they get her out of the car and they go to take the car. She pulls out her gun, fires one shot, kills the driver.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That the car doesn't go if you kill the driver, by the way.
it goes until it hits something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fires one shot, kills the driver. Now the passenger is being charged with murder because he's an accomplice to the situation that caused the death, so they give him the murder charge. But now the question is that woman responsible for that guy's murder because he was fleeing the scene? And the law tells you can use force, but not deadly force, to stop somebody from stealing your property. Clearwater police detectives have charged 17-year-old with second-degree murder in the fatal carjacking that took place Monday night, where his friend was shot and killed. According to the police, the shooting happened shortly after 8 o'clock at the Bank of America on the corner of Belcher and Bel Air. So this lady is rolling up, I would imagine, getting her money. Police say that 18-year-old LaSupta Singletary of Zephyr Hills and 17-year-old Janalyn Drashaw Coleman arranged to meet with Louise Orndorff and her son Caleb in the parking lot of the Bank of America in reference to the possible sale of a Nissan Rogue. Coleman and Singletary were armed and demanded the keys to the Hyundai Veloster.
Right there. Right
that
there.
That Caleb Orndorff was driving. As the two left the scene, Orndorff fired a shot striking Singletary. Coleman drove the car to Meese Countryside Hospital, where Singletary was pronounced dead. The investigation is going on. There's some complications and questions over the transactions that occurred in the parking lot and their circumstances of how these two groups came together. The problem now is, do you charge the woman?
Absolutely not.
But she shot after the fact.
Okay, but it was after the fact. So why did you shoot after the... Because that was the only time I could get my gun out. I thought that they were going to leave no witnesses. They were going to shoot me. Or they were going to take me with them to another location where they were going to drain my bank account, whatever. I was in shock. There's so many different reasons why she totally should shoot them. Listen, if they weren't there carjacking, they wouldn't have got shot. I don't charge her. I don't charge her at all.
100% with you.
Yeah.
And I believe if they do charge her, it's wrong. This woman was defending herself as she was...
you don't know when it's over.
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't know if they're going to come back and get you. And also, you're not supposed to shoot unless you're in fear for your life. If they throw you out of the car and they're driving that weapon, you are still in fear of your life. You're also in that mode, that shock mode to what just happened. I hope to God that they don't press charges against that woman. I don't mind that that one guy is dead, and I don't mind that the other guy is going to jail.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't care at all because they tried to rob this woman of her car in front of her son that she had to protect, and I'm all for it on her side. Although I know several of you are going to disagree with that.
That's another reason, though, why you got to be, if you're selling anything off of Craigslist or any of those apps or anything, definitely meet in a public area. Definitely be aware of who it is. And, I mean, it's just, you know, yeah, for somebody to be like, hey, we want to buy your car, and then we're taking it by gunpoint. Ugh.
Well, you'd think, though, a bank, though, got all those cameras. Maybe she thought that was a smart move.
Yeah.
John, good morning.
Hey, you. Now that you mentioned that that woman that you were with was shot, if it was that guy, now he knows it was you. Maybe you're next. You can't identify him.
I already talked to the cops. I already gave him the information.
And he already knew it was him.
Right. And I could still shoot him myself.
So. Are you him? Thank John, you. Are you him?
No. Are you threatening me, John? One time I got in a... in an incident in traffic, some drunk guy was a passenger in a car, and he was one of those shirtless Nazi looking guys with muscles and stuff. all right, I'll tell you the story real quick. They were weaving in out of traffic. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. It was when we did afternoons, and I was coming home from a gig, and I still lived in Wesley Chapel, and they were in a Mustang speeding and zooming in and out of lanes, whatever. And I was in the Hummer. I didn't care. No, it doesn't go very fast, so. They would get in front of me, jam on the brakes, and then they would go, and then they would go back and forth. And finally, we both got stuck at a light together, and he was in the car, and he looked at me, and he's like, yeah, man, yeah, kind of like the Karate Kid guy.
Yeah.
So I rolled down the window, and the guy driving was a shirtless, muscular Nazi.
Okay.
And the girl driving was a fat pig. So I rolled down the window, and
I looked at him. The girl and the passenger.
No, the girl was driving. The passenger was the Nazi. The girl was driving.
Okay, you said he was driving, too.
So I lowered the window, and I looked over, and he's like, yeah. I got to tell you, I never expected such great driving. And they were like on the edge of their seats. I go, from such a fat girl. And everything got quiet, and the girl put her head down, and the guy stopped yelling for a second. And I went, rolled my window back up, and I was like, He got out of the car.
Oh, no.
And started screaming. So I was stuck in a light right by the 75 overpass. I rolled up a little bit, and he started running after my car like he was going to kill my car.
like Terminator 2?
Yeah. And I was like, all right, so if I put in reverse and kill him, I'm probably going to be in trouble. If I run this red light, I'm probably going to get a ticket. But if I do run the red light and a cop comes, I might be able to go, the Nazi is going to come to kill me.
Right, yeah.
So I slow rolled.
Indiana Jones?
What?
Nazis coming in.
I slow rolled through the red light, and I started driving. He ran back to the car, and they started chasing me. Mm. So at that point, much like that lady, I think in the Bank of America building, there's a Hess gas station over there, completely lit.
Right.
And you know gas stations have cameras everywhere.
Sure.
So I pulled in, parked, took my gun out, got the bullet in the chamber, and I just sat there with it on my lap and with the windows closed, ready to call 911. Because I figured if he comes in and he starts smashing my windows or whatever and I have to shoot him,
yeah,
I'm going to do it. I didn't get out of the car. I wasn't looking for trouble. I just sat there and I waited. He pulled into the parking lot. They looked at me, and then they took off. I was like, thank God.
Man.
Diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They always say go to a police station or something. I was so far from the police station. Hess. That's where you go.
Yeah.
Don't go to Taco Bell because nobody cares what happens in the Taco Bell parking lot.
No.
Especially 1 o'clock in the morning. They expect bad things to go down.